This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Your paycheck is probably not keeping up with inflation. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. All right, lots of numbers out this morning. And every time we get a number drop like this, it's a chance for us to better understand where this economy is taking us and where we are taking this economy. So first up, inflation, personal consumption expenditures, how much households spend. That rose 5.8% last year, according to the Commerce Department. Second, consumer spending for December dropped 0.6%. We all spent a little less in that last month of the year. With us to talk about it is Christopher Lowe, chief economist of FHN Financial in New York. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, Sabri.
So first, let's talk about consumer spending. It was down in December by 0.6%. Is that just Omicron keeping people inside or what?
I don't think it was. I think it's two things. One, people shopped early this year for the holidays. And then I think it's also the bite of inflation.
Another piece of this puzzle we've got this morning is the cost of employment index. This measures how much workers cost a company, you know, wages, health insurance, retirement benefits, etc. That was up 1% in December, which is not as high as it was up the month before. Does that suggest that, you know, this inflation freight train is slowing down at all?
If you're growing 1% over the course of the quarter, that means employees are seeing wages increase at about a 4% rate, or compensation, including benefits. But inflation is running closer to a 6% rate, which means nobody's happy. Companies have to worry about higher employment costs, while employees are, again, being left behind inflation.
Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FHN Financial in New York, thank you so much, as always.
Thank you, Sabri.
A federal judge has thrown out a Biden administration plan to lease millions of acres in the Gulf of Mexico for offshore drilling. Environmental groups had sued to stop those leases, saying they would add to global warming. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer is here to deconstruct this decision for us. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Sabri. And you may be thinking to yourself, I thought President Biden ordered a moratorium on new lease sales for offshore drilling. That is true. But then a different federal judge in Louisiana blocked that suspension. So the Biden administration said it had no choice but to go ahead with the offshore drilling leases in the Gulf of Mexico. At a White House briefing yesterday, spokeswoman Jen Psaki said court challenges have made it impossible to stop them.
Okay, so they tried to stop drilling, and then a court said you can't stop drilling. And now another court has actually said, wait, stop the drilling.
That's kind of the case. The judge who stopped the leases in the Gulf of Mexico said the federal government miscalculated the greenhouse gas emissions drilling in the Gulf of Mexico would cause. The Interior Department used an analysis done under the Trump administration. The judge's decision allows the Biden administration to conduct its own analysis now. Environmental groups expect the Biden administration to reach a very different conclusion.
How is the oil and gas industry responding to this?
The National Ocean Industries Association, which is a trade group for offshore oil and gas drillers, emailed me a statement saying the Biden administration should, quote, defend responsible U.S. offshore production. And it wants the administration to ensure continued leasing in the Gulf. It's not clear, though, if that will happen.
All right, Nancy, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Over the course of the pandemic, a wave of retail investors, everyday people, joined the playing field in the U.S. We got the whole GameStop phenomenon, Wall Street bets. A lot of regular people have gotten into options trading. And now a lot of people new to the game may be feeling something in the pits of their stomachs. Actually, you don't have to be new to stocks to feel that way. The S&P 500 is down almost 10% this year. NASDAQ's down more than 14%. Well into what we call correction territory, and we have seen some super wild swings day to day. Now, some people will panic and cut their losses, and others might buy the dip. But for some perspective, we've got Jason Zweig, who writes the Intelligent Investor column for the Wall Street Journal. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Sibri.
There is so much going on between the Fed raising rates. The S&P is down 10% this year. What should an individual investor do?
Well, the most important thing for people to do right now is to put the market movements in perspective and also look in the mirror. If you're the kind of person who was scared out of stocks in the first quarter of 2020, or if you were old enough to be investing in 2008 and 2009, and you got out of stocks then, you're probably somebody who has a very difficult time handling the anxiety of the stock market heaving up and down. And in that case, maybe your peace of mind is more important to you than, you know, the potential for profit. And maybe you should scale back. But other people should keep their focus on the long term. I mean, if you look at what's happened so far this year, with the S&P down, you know, as you said, more than 9% and NASDAQ down about 14%. It's barely a blip in the long-term performance of the U.S. stock market. So a lot of it depends on your perspective.
Earlier this year, you wrote the best investment for 2022 is discipline. What do you mean by that?
Well, do you want to have, you know, 100 million other people making your decisions for you? Or do you want to have a plan and stick to it? I mean, for the typical investor, the best plan is to buy a very widely diversified mutual fund or ETF and add a little money to it every month or whenever you have some spare cash and do nothing else for the rest of your life. If you do that, you'll probably, in the very long run, come out very well. But if instead you stay focused on the headlines and you panic when other people are panicking, you will not only have below average returns, but you'll have a very stressful career as an investor. And it's discipline that can keep you from making that mistake.
Does the fact that the Fed is planning on, you know, raising rates aggressively, probably, does that guarantee that this is just going to be a bad year for stocks?
No, it doesn't. And I think it's for two reasons. One, the Fed has stated its intentions very clearly, but we can easily imagine scenarios in which it might not act as it intends to do. The Fed has often changed its mind, sometimes on very short notice, when conditions in the economy change drastically. The second thing is stocks do tend, on average, to go up over time, and they also have tended, on average, to go up when interest rates are rising, at least moderately. I think it's not a foregone conclusion that if the Fed raises rates, the stock market will have a terrible year. It could have a mediocre year.
Jason Zweig writes the weekly column, The Intelligent Investor. It appears every Saturday in the Wall Street Journal. Jason, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on, Sabri.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.